You got a little Ouija with Paddy Power on this one, then?
Yeah, mate. Big man to score any time. I'm backing him.
And it looks like it's the big man who's coming off.
Oh, he's going to struggle to score from the bench, pal.
Oh. Fear not, punter, because with Paddy Power's super sub, your bet carries over to the player coming on.
Y'all ready for this?
So now, all subs are super. Paddy Power. Football, you gotta love it. Valid on selected leagues and markets only. Pre-match and in-play bets on qualifying player outcome selections only. T's and C's and exclusions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Oh, it's a bonus episode of From the Horse's Mouth. We were busy last week with Punchestown Daily Podcast. We haven't even had enough. Rory De Largy joins me to look ahead to Chester's May meeting as we build to one of the highlights of the flat season for many, certainly those who like to have a good time anyway. Rory De Largy was busy for us last week. Have you recovered from last week, I suppose?
No, I don't know if I have. I don't know if I have at all, to be perfectly honest. But I did have a little bit of a, well, I say a break. We went away for a couple of days to visit friends in Wiltshire.
Good ham.
Yeah.
Is it known for anything else apart from ham?
Well, yeah, yeah. Salisbury Cathedral is very popular with the Russians, for example.
Can't eat that.
No.
No, you can't eat this. Well, yeah, Russians. Very good. Yeah, no, good ham. That's all I know Wiltshire for. It's probably good cheeses there too, I imagine, isn't there? A few good cheeses?
I'd imagine you can do fairly well for cheese, although they probably nick it from Somerset, but you know.
Okay. All right. Okay. Lovely stuff. So it was a nice little relaxing day. It was busy with Punchestown. And then, of course, the Guineas weekend and then the Kentucky Derby as well, which turned out to be an absolute belter of a race. Before we get stuck into Chester, Rory, I'm going to let everyone know we've got four podcasts this week. We're going to be looking ahead to Wednesday's card at Chester today. And then tomorrow we're going to look ahead to Thursday. And then we're going to have one for Friday. And then we're going to have one for the weekend as well. So brilliant stuff. And you're going to be on all four. But let's look back, Rory. The 2001,000 Guineas. I was oh so excited about seeing City of Troy. Ruby Walsh dampened my spirits by saying, the Aidan O'Brien form's not great, but even if the Aidan O'Brien form is not great, that was hugely disappointing.
It was, wasn't it? But then again, not the kind of race I really wanted to get stuck into from a betting point of view, because it was all about City of Troy. And the question was, has he trained on? Has he not trained on? And everything he did last year suggested he was very, very good. But we've seen far too many superstar two-year-olds just not grow that much from 2 to 3 and end up not being particularly good. Or you get them, they're pretty good, but everything just catches up with them. You know, Pinatubo being a very good example of a horse who was exceptional as a two-year-old. He was still a very good three-year-old, but he was much the same as he was at two. Air Force Blue was a terrific example. So when I had to write the race up for the Irish Field, I quoted Aidan O'Brien after the Dewhurst saying what a great horse this was, and then said, but that wasn't City of Troy I was talking about. It was Air Force Blue. And to be honest, he sounded even more bullish about Air Force Blue, who was useless. That's true. Absolutely useless. And I'm afraid that has to be a big worry now for City of Troy. He looked so good last year. Listen, he'd be happier back in slightly slower ground, I would have thought. But, you know, he was given every chance there. He's clearly... I think the reports from the paddock, from those who weren't just sort of drawn into the fact that he was an odds-on shot and expected to win, were that, well, he hasn't grown an awful lot. He didn't stand out in the paddock like he did last year. And he ran like a horse who was purely a two-year-old. Now, you don't want to judge them just on the Guineas. And, of course, we saw last year with a disappointing Guineas favourite, they can bounce back and show themselves to be top-class horses as well. But I don't really see it happening for City of Troy. I think he just hasn't developed from 2 to 3. And, of course, there was this question about are the Justifiers all two-year-olds as well? Because, you know, it's obviously very important to market Justify as an international stallion. That's really important for Coolmore at the moment as well. And Aidan has always gone on about how they just don't stop. They run and run and run. Well, they run and run and run until they're 3 at least. There is a bit of a question mark about how some of those are trained on. And we've had the same with highly regarded sires in the past as well. Very, very good at producing precocious winners, but not necessarily at producing classic winners.
Mm. The jury is out regarding the Justifies. It was the runner that Joe put up in the Derby. He didn't run a race either. And it is concerning. But sure, look, well, it's concerning for Coolmore. It's not concerning for us. But maybe it's a punting angle. We can start to really take on these Justified three-year-olds. And the 1,000 Guineas, obviously, Roger Vernon, another shock. The Godolphin winner. I didn't even mention the 2,000. Some price.
Yeah, amazing price in the end. I mean, he's drifted like a barge. Yeah. And I suppose, and again, it was always late money that was doing that. And the late money tends to be very clued up. But I think this was just on the basis that all weather horses who've never raced on turf don't win classics. So, you know, that didn't race at two, three runs this year. I've been on the all weather. You know, he looked like he was turning into a really good horse, but you know, that's not usually the profile of a Guineas winner. And someone or some people were very happy to field against him. Rosalian's run really well. You know, if you weren't sidetracked by City of Troy last year, Rosalian's form worked out exceptionally well all the way through the season. He's a horse who probably wants the quickish ground as well. He's run a cracker to be second. He's going to be a very good 3-year-old as well. He'd be effective. I mean, he'd probably be most effective at 7 furlongs, but 7 furlongs is just such an unsexy trip that it'll be a mile until they might think of giving him a go over 6 furlongs at Royal Ascot. Probably not, given how well he's running the Guineas. But that was promising enough from him. The 1,000 was a decent contest as well. I was with Porta Fortuna, Andy Poston, again on the weekend. My big worry with her was not getting the fast ground, which she probably needs. The ground came right for her in the end. She's run an absolute cracker. But she's probably had to work a little bit too hard to get after Ramatuelle before anything else did. And although she eventually got to Ramatuelle right on the line, she nosed ahead on the line. She just got a bit lonely herself and got nabbed. The winner did it nicely. The fourth looked very unlucky. A lot of talk about how unlucky she was in the run, switching from the centre of the track right to the outside and losing quite a lot of ground doing so, and then rattling home really quick. It'd be interesting to see how she goes on from that as well. But yeah, I don't think either of them were absolutely outstanding races, but they were full of fairly lightly raced horses with scope to improve a fair bit more. So there's plenty of intrigue for the season ahead.
Oh, big time. Yeah, who rode that Tam Fana, the fast finishing fourth?
I couldn't possibly tell you. It did spark off the usual debate about.
Is it even a debate? right. That's a nice little wrap up of the 1,000 Guineas. It was a great weekend. It was a tough weekend to take stock. Everything going on in Punchestown, Kentucky, a new market. But we rattle into some ITV coverage, and we brought you along to cover Newton Abbott. Yeah, unfortunately, he's gone. Sorry, Rory. So we're just going to have to talk about Chester. The main meeting, it's your usual mixture of a few juvenile races, a few sprints, and of course the Derby and Oaks trials, as well as the Chester Cup to come later in the week. We're going to kick off with the 130. It is a handicap over the 6 furlong trip. And I'm looking at prices here, Rory. Fives the field here. Oh, lovely. 3-year-old handicap. He's just delighted. Horses who haven't really been seen this season, or maybe some of them have. Fives the field, Auric, Old Chums 11-2, 6-1 Stash the Cash, Winged Messenger 6-1, 9-1 Beyond Borders, double figures, the rest. All right then, the favourites drawn 8? Look at that.
Yeah, well, the first place to start obviously at Chester is the draw. Very hard to overcome a wide draw. It's not, I mean, there was a time when if you're drawn 1, you had a massive chance of winning. I don't think that's really the case anymore at Chester. You need to be drawn pretty low. These days, it's hard to steal one from the front in a competitive handicap. You know, you'll find that jockeys are sort of drawn in the middle there. A lot of them, if they've got a bit of early speed, they'll want to try to get near the front, and there tends to be a bit of a burn up in some of the shorter distance handicaps. And the horses who can benefit from that, particularly when they've got a cutaway in the straight, and I assume they've got a cutaway for this meeting, which helps enormously at Chester, where they didn't, where they're always on the inside rail. You could get a fair bit of congestion in behind, and it suited those who were able to get out in front. But you often have to work a little bit too hard to do so. There seems to be quite a lot of pace in this race. So your eyes are initially drawn to Old Chums, who'd be one of the favourites here. Tom Dascombe trains. Tom's always had an eye for this meeting. Obviously, he's no longer training for Michael Owen, but he still likes the Chester meeting, and Old Chums comes here on the back of 5 runs this season, hasn't been out of the 3, has made the running the last twice to be second at Chelmsford and Kempton, and looks fairly handicapped still. The worry for me is that although he's probably going to lead again from stall 2, I think he's going to have to work hard to maintain a clear lead, and I think that leaves him vulnerable late on. I'd be looking for something drawn low to mid that's got the ability to come off a strong pace. I think Stash the Cash is probably the most obvious one in the race. A lot of these don't have established racing styles. So he's made all the running once. He was held up on his penultimate start, and then he was always handy when winning at Catterick last time out. That was 5 furlongs and heavy ground at Catterick. Very different conditions. I expect the ground to be good here at Chester. There's a little bit of rain around, but fairly minimal lesson they'd be throwing on in terms of watering if it was good to firm in the first place. So I think this will be good ground. I don't think that's going to be an issue for him. He improved an awful lot to win on his reappearance, but I think that was just development from 2 to 3. And the form of the race that he won has worked out very well. He beat a horse called Wichapi, who was disappointing next time out for Brian Smart. But the third that day, Vince Lamour, who raced on his own on the stands side of the track, he's won very well twice since. And he runs on Thursday, I believe, unless he runs later on this card. It all gets mixed up eventually. He runs in a 5 furlong handicap. But Stash the Cash, I thought, was very impressive late in the day. It looked like it was going to be quite a tight battle between the front three. Stash the Cash has ended up going 3 1/4 lengths clear inside the last furlong. I think he'll appreciate the step up to 6 furlongs. On pedigree, he doesn't need the heavy grind. I think he's just improved a chunk. And the handicappers put him up 8 pounds, but the horse that he beat into third there, he's gone up well over a stone and is still winning. So I think Stash the Cash could be well treated on that. Stall 4 is a good spot to be in. I think he'll just track the pace and look to come home strongly from that position. But a really tough race, full of unexposed three-year-olds, with horses forced to go faster than ideal early on. So it has got the capacity to throw up a little bit of a surprise.
Well, if that was a tough race, Stash to Cash the selection of 130. Let's move on to the storied Lily Agnes Stakes. Conditions race, this for the juveniles. And you often see a filly put herself into Royal Ascot Picture here. And there's a few very interesting types. Cody Beat for the Coles, Paul and Oliver. Daisy and the Breeze for Dominic French Davies. Ed Dunlop won with Lady Lightning. All three of those unbeaten and looking to defy penalties. Are they penalised? No, I don't think they are.
No, because this is the conditions of this race mean that you're not carrying a penalty. Depending on the value of the race, probably. But let's look at who do we have at the top here and see what they've got. Those with winning for Lady Lightning's get 8.13, and Knight and Parsley didn't win is 8.13 as well. So it's just straight. Essentially, it's set up like a listed race, I suppose. But it's only it doesn't have black type status. It may have had at some stage.
Might have, yeah.
Sure it has at some point.
Kind of surprised by the betting. I was looking and thinking, I must be looking at the old anti-post prices because it's 5 the field. But that is, but it is. It's 5-1 the field. And there's only a handful of runners. There's only 8. No, we got 10 runners in the race and it's 5-1 the field. Good luck.
Yeah, it's a toughie. I wasn't mad keen on, have you got Cody Beat as favourite?
We do, but I mean, one point between the top 6 and the betting.
Yeah, and that's probably about right. There's a couple of those who I struggled. The winners I struggled to fancy, even though they don't have penalties here. Cody Beat has won in a bit of a bunch finish at Kempton, having got the run of the race. So she was favourite for that. She had the run of things. She looked professional, but she was holding on fairly grimly in the end. And I thought she'd need to improve a fair bit to win this. Lady Lightning, similarly, she won a race at Wolverhampton where she made all the running in a moderate time, and those behind her have done nothing for the form since. That was also on the all-weather, so she needs to prove herself on the turf. In fairness, she's got a pedigree that suggests that she should be better on turf, particularly turf with a bit of give in it, being by Earthlight out of a Scirocco mare. So I wouldn't be surprised to see her improve, but I thought, you know, what she's achieved wasn't exceptional. You've got the first and second from a maiden race at Brighton in here as well. Daisy and the Breeze won that from Sir Geoff Morgan. They face off again. That looked an okay contest for the track, so I wouldn't rule them out. The two most interesting ones for me, Knight and Paris is interesting. Jamie Spencer riding in the Paul Shanahan silks for George Bowie. I thought Knight and Paris showed a load of ability when second to Assertively first time out at Ripon, making the running and getting run down late. She did that in a good time. We shouldn't go mad about good times at Ripon. That caused a lot of debate last year, didn't it? But I thought she was liable to improve. Like, she was interesting despite a drawn stall 9. The fact that she had the speed to lead at Ripon that day suggests she'd be able to get across and get a prominent position, unless her jockey decides to take a pull from the start and head to the rail, which has been known.
He'd never do that.
J.P.
Spencer.
I'm actually going to go for a newcomer in the race. I'm going to go for Arabian Cobra, who's drawn in stall 7. So it's not the perfect draw here, but he's well bred, son of Dark Angel, trained by Hugo Palmer, part owned by Michael Owen. So again, Michael Owen's operation very much geared entirely towards Chester's May meeting. It's a Always a big meeting for the footballers. End of the season, bit of letting your hair down. Everything's pretty much finished unless you've got a big final coming up. So Michael's always wanted to have winners at this meeting. And I thought Arabian Cobra looked very interesting on paper. Cost 60,000. He's a brother to a winner from the Dams, had one runner to date. He was a winner in France. She herself won over 5 furlongs as a 2-year-old and was listed class. And I thought Arabian Cobra was bred to be pretty precocious. And I thought with Ocean Murphy booked, he was liable to be fully revved up for this. You can never back newcomers with maximum confidence. But I thought those with form didn't look world beaters to me. And I thought that Arabian Cobra was probably, you know, the plan had always been to make debut here. And I thought he might be able to strike at the first time of asking. He'd be sort of 7 or 8 to 1. He's got an entry in the Super Sprint at Newbury as well, which suggests he's held in high enough esteem. I don't know when the entries close for the Super Sprint, it has to be said. But they clearly think he's got speed. And if he's got speed here against horses who've not achieved a huge amount to date, I'd give him a chance of winning at the first time of asking.
Well, I always associate this race with fillies. And I'm looking at the market. They dominate.
It's because of the Lily Agnes, isn't it? And the size should be a fillies race, but it's not.
It still is. But, and then, like, most of the horses who've won are all fillies prior to this race, as in the winners. But, yeah. But Arabian Cobra, the colt, who shares the same gender as Sir Geoff Morgan, funnily enough, also a colt. I was just looking at the dam there of Arabian Cobra. She was owned by a man called Russell Jones, who has a runner for Tom Dascombe in the race as well, Seraphim Angel.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Obviously, there's still that link because Tom Dascombe would have been training.
Well, although he doesn't have, he's not at Manor Farm Stables or whatever they're called, he still has a lot of those owners that he had in the old days as well. And obviously, he took owners with him from Lambourne when he went to Cheshire in the first place.
Yeah, you're dead right. You used to see a load of Man United footballers, didn't you? I'm not sure we'll see a huge amount. Given the way they're playing at the moment.
Yeah.
Drubbed 4-0 by Crystal Palace. Yeah, that's got the races, lads. Yeah, that won't make the papers. if we did see a few Man United players, my goodness. Back City -8 in the FA Cup final.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, let's go to Chester, back to Chester, stay with Chester. 2:35, 5 furlong sprint handicap is the next race we're going to look at. Tim Easterby, who could have a good afternoon. He's got the favour of Vince L'Amour, who is looking for a 3-timer. King's Merchant for Ed Bethel and Oisin Murphy has been backed in the anti-post market. 6 is down to 9 is 2. All right, here we go with this one. Rainy night in Georgia. Jamie Spencer will ride for the first time. Alice Haynes will train this horse for the first time. Jamie Spencer was on board when winning a Linkfield Novice last night, also in the Paul Shannon Silks. And then 7-1 bar. Lovely. 5 furlong sprint handicap, Rory. Off you go.
Is Jamie Spencer putting together a stable for Paul Shannon?
Maybe. Is he?
Yeah, Rainy Night in Georgia is reasonably interesting here. And Alice Haynes will have him fit. She's good at getting her horses ready first time. But I thought, again, you've got the related double. My fancy in the first race beats Vince L'Amour. That's going back to the 3rd of April when Stash the Cash won from stall one at Catterick, and Vince L'Amour was drawn in stall 7 and raced on his own out wide and ran very well to be third. He's won both his starts since. I thought he was very impressive back at Catterick last time out. He won at Ripon by a wide margin, beating a subsequent winner, Mr. Irrelevant, by 5.5 lengths that day. The runner-up pulled the best part of 3 lengths clear of the third. Vince L'Amour then went back to Catterick. All these runs have been in softer, heavy ground. That's a little bit of a proviso. But he went back and beat Scoops Ahoy by 1.5 lengths. Smaller margins last time out, but I thought he won with a fair bit in hand. And what impressed me about Vince L'Amour in his last two starts is just how easy it is for him to go forward early. You see a lot of horses sort of spring from the stalls and show lightning speed, but, you know, are head out to do it, you know, really going as fast as they can and then vulnerable later on. He's got a very naturally high cruising speed and he's able to get handy without seeming to make an awful lot of an effort. He still had a bit left at the finish last time out. When beating Scoops Ahoy, if you watch David Allen, you'll see that he's basically gearing down in the last 100 yards there. And I think although the handicappers put him up £8 for that, I think there's more improvement in Vince Lemore. And again, what you're seeing is you're getting a trainer in Tim Easterby who's basically running these horses at two, knowing that they're going to take time to find themselves physically. Some of them take longer than others, and some of them need to have a very low base to win races. But Vince Lemore and Stash the Cash have both improved markedly for the reappearance, for the winter break and reappearing here. So Vince Lemore showed improved form when third at Catterick. He's taken a big step forward when winning easily at Ripon, and he's run at least as well when winning last time out. Very good time figures for the last two runs. Particularly impressive last time, as I said, he was geared down and would have been able to win that by a little bit further if he was asked. The question is whether he's going to be as effective on a quicker surface. I don't see a massive problem with that, to be honest. I think, you know, the ground that he's had to race on has been soft so far. And you look at some horses, you go, yeah, that's a proper mud lover. And you look at other horses, you go, this horse has just improved massively. And he'll win whatever sort of weak races he's thrown in. This is obviously tougher of a mark of 80, but I think he'll progress again. And I think although he's drawn wider than ideal, I just think he's got such natural speed that he will take a good position from stall 7. That's not a concern for me. And he does have slowish horses on his inside. Nix, Dante Devil, Moonstone Boy. None of those particularly likely to go forward. So there's a bit of speed on the inside. But I think Vince Lemore will immediately get in a good position. I think that makes him the likeliest winner here. If you want to be really clever, you do the double, don't you? Slash the cat, Vince Lemore.
If you want to be really clever, I mean, I don't know why to finish that sentence, to be honest, at this stage. But anyway, yeah.
You want to go to Chester and have a couple of pints and
well, yeah, that'd be nice.
Leave the punting alone, but we'll see.
It does look like the forecast is set fair, which you traditionally think of this meeting as downpours, don't you?
Yeah.
It just always seems to rain. But yeah, look, fingers crossed, nice forecast for everyone at Chess. So Vince Lemore and Stash the Cash potentially in the related contingency sort of double. Right, on to one of the features of the week, the Cheshire Oaks. This race obviously is a trial for the big one, the Oaks itself. It's a listed race, but usually produces a group class filly. We are going to go money back for second or third in the Paddy Power shops, by the way, in this race. So I'll crack a little offer for you. And if you want to find the winner, you back Aidan O'Brien and John Gosden, or the Gosdens in the race. They've won, I think, seven of the last eight between them. But Joseph O'Brien's got the favourite, Galileo Dame, not by Galileo. Galileo Gold, the sire of this one. Just about favourite from Forest Ferry. For Rafe Beckett, who's 5-2. Now, the Paddy Power Traders anti-post didn't know who Ryan Moore was going to ride. The market told them just before the decks came out, because Port Ferry, who smashed into 7-2 from 8-1, and Ruby's a red, 6s out to 10s. So the two Aidan O'Brien runners, William Buick will ride Ruby's are red. Then the Gosdens, I said, good record of the race. It got Beely at 8-1, and it's 18s bar. All right, Rory, give us the winner of the Cheshire Oaks.
Yeah, typically a tough one. You've got horses who've shown decent form already. Galileo Dame, I think, deserves to be a favourite for this, given that she beat Ruby's are Red with a bit to spare last time out. I'm probably overcoming the run of the race to a degree. They didn't go particularly hard in front that day, and Ruby's are Red had the benefit of making the running as well. She was favourite for the race. She was able to dictate, but Galileo Dame picked her up despite the fact that Ruby's are Red got first run. Listen, Ruby's a Red could easily improve for that. You expect Aidan O'Brien's to improve from second to third and from third to fourth run. That always tends to be par for the course. And plenty of his winners in this race didn't look, you know, stellar performers coming into it either. So it wouldn't be a massive surprise to see Ruby's a Red run better. And Ruby's a Red might provide a bit of each way value, given, as you said, the price has gone out just because William Buick's riding. If I find out William Buick is riding a horse and the price had doubled, it certainly wouldn't put me off having a bet. I suspect there isn't much to choose between Port Ferry and Ruby's a Red on paper. And to be honest, I think I'd probably prefer to back Ruby's a Red if I was forced to pick between the two of them. Because I think, you know, you can overreact a little bit to the fact that Ryan's on one. He has to ride one of them, even if they're impossible to choose between. He's got to ride one of them, and I think that the reaction to the market often goes a bit too far with that. Forest Ferry was impressive on her debut, and she beat a horse, Los Toldos, who won well next time out as well. So that form looks pretty decent. My worry is that it's Wolverhampton form, and there'll be one or two Waldgeist offspring who've been very impressive at Wolverhampton first time out. She needs to show that she can translate that to the turf. And although the form has worked out, it's worth pointing out that it was in early February she made that debut, and the runner-up, Los Toldos, almost certainly improved a big chunk to win next time out. So I wouldn't be drawing hard and fast conclusions about the level of that form. So the bottom line is, this is pretty tricky. I was inclined. Paddy Power are fairly tight on the price of this one. There's bigger prices elsewhere. I think she's probably going to drift. I thought Beely was quite interesting. Now, she's very well bred. She is by Camelot out of a mare called Pilsley, who is a half sister to Ask. You'll remember Ask. He's a decent jump sire these days, but he started off in these colours racing for the Duke of Devonshire for St. Michael's Stout many moons ago. And Beely comes from the same family, bred by the Duke of Devonshire, owned by the Duke of Devonshire. And she's been second in both starts to date. The bare form she's shown is probably on a par with most of these. I don't think there's much to choose between the vast majority of these on what they've actually achieved. What you're guessing is how much they're going to improve on what they've achieved to date. And Beely has got scope to improve a lot. She's also got scope to go the wrong way temperamentally. She's got loose twice before her wrists and had to be withdrawn. So she was second at Nottingham in October. She was due to run the week before she did at Sandown at Newbury and got rid of her jockey and had to be withdrawn. That was the second time that had happened to her in her career. So you've got to take that with a pinch of salt and realise that she is quite highly strung. When she ran at Sandown, she had to be loaded without the jockey. And that's probably what they're going to do again here. But for me, although that rings a bit of a warning bell, it also suggests that she's mentally immature and is, you know, a filly who, as a result, might just have more than average improvement in her if they can get her on the right track. And there's no one better than getting a filly on the right track mentally than John Gosden. So I would trust John Gosden to get the best out of Beely. She might need another run to get that, and she will improve. She'll definitely improve for a mile and a half on pedigree. But I think she might just be a bit of a dark horse here. And if she was double figures, and I think that looks very likely, all told, then she would tempt me in.
Beely for the Gosdens, as I said, Aidan O'Brien and John Gosden. Obviously, Thady he was around, but he wasn't on the ticket, so to speak. They've dominated the race since 2015, winning all bar one of them. Gosden won it with a filly called Mehadia in 2019. And some filly I've never heard of, Nabal, won it in 2017. Don't know if she did now. An Annabelle, Frankie Tory Road, Jud Monsox? Annabelle?
Annabelle.
Yeah, whatever happened to that Enable filly. Yeah, one with her as well. So you can win with good ones. Interesting to see. And I just saw Ask, I'm not going to say I remember this. I popped up as you mentioned she's related to him. He won the Ormond Stakes here at Chester.
Yeah,
for some extent. Do you know Rodham though? Go on there. That'll test you. Not an obvious jockey.
Not an obvious. That was a good question.
He was he based with Stout for about a year, maybe a year. And I think he did a small bit for Coolmore. No, I'm thinking of a different Aussie who did this. There's a clue. I'm thinking of a different Aussie who went to Coolmore.
Gary Stevens?
No.
No, he's not Aussie, obviously. No, he's American.
Yeah,
but no.
Aussie, yeah. Kieran McAvoy.
Oh, Kieran McAvoy, of course. Yeah.
Based there for a few years, wasn't he, Kieran McAvoy? So he rode him in the Ormond.
I always thought he was just based with Godolphin, but...
Didn't he ride? I remember he used to, in a weird twist of fate, I think he used to ride Zaki as well. And then obviously he went over to Australia. I've just have in my brain that he did as well. I don't know if that's nonsense or otherwise, but anyway. Maybe when Ryan couldn't ride, which is plenty of the time, he would have picked up spares for Stouty. Right, Chester Vaz time. This is obviously the big Derby trial, a race that Aidan, to be fair, usually sends one of his better Derby horses, and all of a sudden, the best Derby horse may not be City of Troy. Grosvenor Square is his representative, well, the main representative, Ryan Moore, booked 5-4 favourite. Hidden Law for Charlie Appy, William Buick, fresh off their classic weekend. I've got an 11-4 chance, as I said, Hidden Law. Cadogan Place for the balding Ushie Murphy team, 9-2. Agenda, Dylan Brown McMonagall picks up the spare for Aidan's supposed second string. You got Papano for the Gosdens, 9-1, and then Golden West, the outsider. All right, the Chester Vaz. I love this race. I think it's a great trial for the Derby. Whether we see a Derby winner, I don't know. But what's your take on it?
Again, I find it less than easy. You've got a few of these moving from turf to the all weather who look very promising. And it's difficult to know with a lot of these how much they're going to improve for that. The one point I wanted to make in the first place was Godolphin tend not to do well here at Chester. Do very well at Newmarket. They're out early with the Craven horses and stuff like that. But interestingly, very few runners at this meeting historically. I'm not entirely sure why someone took a dislike to Chester. But they don't have a particularly good win record in classic trials at Chester. They don't have that many runners, but they haven't had much success when they have. So that's a little bit of a negative for Hidden Law. And to be honest, I would prefer Cadogan Place anyway, who beat Hidden Law when the pair made their debuts at Southall back in the end of March. That was a remarkably strong race for the track. Cadogan Place coming out by a short head ahead of Hidden Law, who then won nicely at Newbury in a race that tends to be very strong last time out. I would side with Cadogan Place in a match there. I suspect Grosvenor Square is probably the horse to beat. Can you be piling into Aidens with confidence at that kind of price at this stage? Certainly he's achieved more than most of these. And he has a pedigree that suggests that he will improve from 2 to 3 as well. You know, the one thing you know about Galileos, they do tend to train on, don't they? So you'd like to think that Grosvenor Square would be a big player here. But I'm going to make a dog in place my selection on the basis that maybe we can't be going crazy for Raidens at the current price. I mean, I wouldn't make too much of a deal about Aidens' form. It was mentioned, Frank mentioned it before, the Guineas. But he's still, 21% strike rate this season. They're not struggling on the whole. Some horses are disappointing. But that's just par for the course. You're always going to get in a big team, you're always going to have horses who don't live up to expectations. So I wouldn't make too much of the Aidan O'Brien stable form itself, but I don't really want to be backing a 3-year-old making its reappearance at a very short price. So I'll make Cadogan Place my selection, but it'd be a race that I'd prefer to watch than get heavily involved in.
Fair enough. Place for the London landmarks, I suppose. Grosvenor Square, Cadogan Place. If you owned a couple of properties in either of those, you'd be doing all right. You're doing all right. But Cadogan Place or Cadogan Place, whatever way you want to pronounce it, the token and very token selection. All right, that's Chester covered. No Newton Abbott. What a shame. So I want your best bet on the day. Actually, to be fair, I think you're a little bit stronger than I thought you'd be. I don't think it's going to come in the Chester Vaz. But what would your best bet be on Wednesday?
I think my best bet on Wednesday would be Vince L'Amour in the 5 furlong handicap, the 2:35.
And it would be twice as big if Stash the Cash were to go and win.
Well, I should probably have a small double to start with, and then reinvest if needs be.
Lovely. Okay. All right. Yeah. Very much contingent form lines are there between Stash the Cash and 130. But Vince L'Amour, the best bet on Wednesday. Lovely stuff, Rory. It's great to get a nice little bonus pot out of you. And I'm going to do the same again for Thursday's card at Chester. But we might hopefully have a look at a jumps race at Huntingdon as well. Amazing. The jumps is back. The jumps is back after a break of 3 days. So enjoy your ITV action. You're going to watch it at home? Have a nice little cup of tea watching Chester?
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I'll do my best. Yeah, the boys tend to come home from school just, towards the back end of racing. But, I might. I'll tell you what, I can do. They've got Bake Off Club on Thursday. So they're in school for an extra hour making biscuits or whatever. So that's that makes life.
Yeah. They bring some of that home, though, yeah?
Bring that home, yeah. Yeah, they fantastic. Don't hand it out, but they do bring it home.
Oh, just Bake Off Club. My God. That sounds fantastic. Great
it
school.
Does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've looked.
Why do they want to join Parkour Club? They started a parkour club for primary school children.
That's probably good for
jumping off the roof and stuff like that.
Yes.
Both of them said, no, it doesn't interest me.
In terms of physio and GP bills for you, I think that's probably good that they didn't join the parkour club. For those who aren't aware what it is, it's lunacy is the best way I could describe it, basically. So pop it into Google. Absolute nonsense. But anyway, right, brilliant stuff. Enjoy the baked goods. We'll be back tomorrow looking ahead to Thursday's ITV card. So take it easy until then.